and on his word I'm feeding, I shall not be moved. And he's the one that's leading, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be. Sing it unto him, yes, I shall not be. I shall not be moved, I shall not be. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Amen. Waters, I shall not be. One more time. Yes, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look.
Amen. God bless you. It's so nice to be back again here. And I had such a good memories of the summer family camp. And I just recognized so many familiar faces. And, you know, I feel at home, though I'm a little bit nervous this morning. But you see, you have to bear with my English. I'm French. I always preach in French at home. But, well, I will try to be understandable, so bear with me. So just me, you may have your seat. And so I want to thank Brother Franco. He made all the setup to prepare the PowerPoint that I'm going to show you right now about what's going on in Haiti. And I want to thank Brother Jeff, you know, we always have a kindred spirit, and we did not have a chance to be together often in fellowship, but those few times was really a blessing to me. And I always admire Brother Lani for all his work, and I know him since, I don't know, maybe 25 years, you see. Well, we still think that we are young, but when we look at our pictures, sometimes we say, hey, this is not me, it's not possible. Yes, it is. You know, I have a sixth grandchild, so, and, well, that's life. And you know what, I was talking with Brother Jeff, I said, Brother Branham said if he had a choice in life to choose a gap of 25 years, he will not choose the first from 1 to 25 or 25 to 50, but he will choose the last 25 years. That's where we know more, we have more wisdom, and we know that we are not too much capable, we are not too much skilled, and God has a way to humble ourselves by experiences, and we start to learn and to depend on him. Amen. And so he is the giver of faith. He is the giver of every good gift. So I bring the greetings from my wife. She really would like to be here today, but this time was not possible. And we brought also greetings from our home church. So, last Thursday, my son-in-law, my brother Steve Brisson, just made this PowerPoint. I'm not scared at all with those technology, but God has some, and we use them. And so now I will tell you later that now my son-in-law is the one who pastoring the church. I will explain you later. So this PowerPoint will be in five parts. Five is grace, anyhow. So the first one will be a general information on Haiti. And the second part will be the printing work that we established there a couple years ago. The third part will be on the earthquake. And the fourth part will be a trip of 2 days in mountains, where there is a new church where they baptized 19 people just 2 weeks ago. And the fifth part will be a DVD of different churches, mostly they're worshiping. So I think it will thrill you. And in this last part, you will see a group of people walking and singing through the mountains, and they are about 30, and they walk, and we walk, and I walk with them, and I was behind them, and I tried to film them, and they were singing all their way till the river where they get baptized. And the last part on this DVD will be a part of pictures, only faces of different people that I met and I know. Okay, so we can start with the presentation. Where is this little gadget that... okay, here it is. Okay, so now the first one. Okay. Now you see a picture of the island. So Haiti is on the brown section, and the green section is a Dominican Republic. And they share the same island. It's used to call Española because that was from Spain originally. And Haiti means a land of high mountains. My first trip started in 1989, and it was not really my will. My pastor wanted me to bring me there because he would like to spend a couple years on with his family on mission field, and so I was associated pastor, and he wanted me to see the place and to take care of the church, but finally it's never worked. But that was my first trip. Since that, I've been there 21 times. So first, part number one, this is the island, and you see about how a lot of mountains they got. It's a half desert. Only few plains are good for agriculture. The topsoil on mountains has been washed out by heavy rain season. And now, you see, in Dominican Republic, there is forest, there is trees. But when you will see later, when you see those mountains, it's like there is only few trees, and the topsoil is gone, and they are any more self-sufficient about food product. It depends on every nation. And you heard probably 2 years ago, they have 4 hurricanes in the same season. So they destroy everything, their crops, and they depend on that. So we're going to see a little bit of history. Christopher Columbus landed at Malo St. Nicholas on 1492 and claimed the island for Spain. Native population was 100,000. They were Indian. The Spaniards exploited the island for its gold, mined chiefly by local Amerindian or native Indian, directed by the Spanish occupiers. Those refusing to work in the mine were killed or sold into slavery. Europeans brought with them chronic infectious disease and decreased the population. In 1517, the Spanish governors began importing enslaved Africans for labor. Since 1654, that was the French occupation. That's why they still speak French, and Creole is a mix of French and Spanish and other language. In 1793, that was the slave abolition. In 1825, Haiti got his independence. Now, since that time, you heard about the Duvalier, the dictator regime, and how they stole the nation. And since his departure, we had a succession of corrupted president. Haiti is probably the most, or one of the most corrupted nation or government that is in the world. And the whole country declined rapidly. You see, it's awful. It's so dirty everywhere. There is trash everywhere. You see, this is not a nice place to visit. Now, about population. Haiti's population is 9.8 million, and it's a small island. It's one of the overcrowded islands in the world, with half of the population being under 20 years old. 940 people per square mile. That's a lot of people. Like I told you, the official language with the government at school, it's French, and the spoken language is Creole. So now I've been acquainted with Creole, I can speak Creole, like, Que bon Dieu béni ou matin, à moins content, pile ouin ou matin pour adorer grand wassa. So, of course, you understood nothing, but there is no Asian here. But you know, I'm able now to understand them and to speak with them. So, but I'm not perfect. But you know, anyhow. When I preach in the main town, I preach in French. But if I am outside in the countryside, I need an interpreter. And 55% of the population are illiterate, and many of them, they don't know how old they are. If I say, quel âge vous gagnez, that's Creole. How old are you? And many people in the countryside, maybe about my age, they say, we don't know. And they smile, you see. And I was thinking, after all, what's matter about age? You know. And okay, now with the economy, incomes per capita of 1900 US dollar per year. It's about $2 US per person per day. How are you going to make it with $2 per day? And listen, a cereal box is higher than what you pay here. Every imported material or food are very expensive. And since the earthquake, the food price increases by two or three times. Okay, now, 80 is the poorest. Now about Messiah churches. There is about, it's hard to say, but over 20,000 Messiah believers. Probably around 200 churches and 250 ministers, and I'm very conservative about that number. And the next one. Okay, so the next one, it's still the same picture, a map, and you see a little X, a red X on the top of the place. It's not the first place I have been, but I just click and now you will see, okay, you see all the places I visited. So all those little red spots, that's where I've been, and since 21 year. And so most of the places you see, we put a seed library, about 60 keys message of Brother Branham, of course, in French, and we were giving them a tape recorder. And I didn't never count how much we give, but we give 1,000 Bible, and there are still a need. One-third of about every churches don't have even a Bible. Could you imagine your life without the Bible? And so, and before I left, I called two bookstore, Bible bookstore, and no one has one single Bible. And so, and they told me that they're going to receive some, and the next time I will go, I will buy a lot of Bible and be able to give the Bible, to provide Bible for everyone, if I hope. Now, we probably give over 400 MP3 players, and somebody gave us, well, this is Brother Daniel Belisberger from West Canadian, and one time he has in his heart to give me for about $40,000 to purchase MP3 players. And in one shot, we were able to cover every minister in the island. Because before that, they only had like couple books and couple tapes, you see. And now they could receive more the word. And you know, what I felt for them, this is not fair. I have all the messages that I want. And they like the message, and they like the Bible, they like, and they don't have. I was thinking, this is not fair, they should have it like I have it, you see? And, you know, they used to call me missionary when I was over there, and I was thinking, well, I'm just a pastor, I'm not a missionary. And one day the Lord, like, spoke to my heart, and he was, like, telling me, do you know what, you need to be a missionary? And the answer was just love. If you love people, you're going to be a missionary. You see, that's the first thing you need is love. So when love is project, you see, grace will follow. Okay, the second part now will be the printing shop. Okay. So this is the building that we were using before the earthquake. This building belongs to Brother George Lamore. He is a nation brother, and he really helped us every time we went. He was the one to pick us at the airport. You're going to see his picture a little bit later. And this is a 4-story building. It's not very fancy, but was comfortable. The first floor is a store. The second, well, was, because I have to say, the second floor is the kitchen and the living room, and the top is the bedroom. Then I stayed there many times. And now you see, after the earthquake, now you see, you see at the right side the building. Well, now that's what you see. Okay, now this is Brother Raymond Hibbert. He is pastoring a church in Madawaska, Maine. And Brother Hibbert and I, we are very, very good friends, and we have probably traveled together more than 15, maybe 16 times. And so he is the one that, okay, I have to follow my notes. Okay, here I am. So he used to work for, now he is retired, he is pastoring the church in Madawaska. He used to work for the Fraser Company, that's a paper company, And they used to give him every year like 4 or 6 tons of paper. And so he was shipping that ahead of time. And while we were there, he used a little truck and he was going in Port-au-Prince and a different school. Of course, many brothers as a private school, and he was distributing this paper. And one day I went in a high mountain. We have to cross 11 rivers to get to the top of that mountain. The place is called Saint-Michel de l'Atalaye. And in fact, you see, it's always the same river that you cross because she's just like this, you know. And the brother over there told me, he said, Brother Andre, we need the books. And, you know, he was begging me to give more books. He said, if you give us the books, God will provide for the rest. And it just put on my heart, you know, a pressure. And one day I told Brother Hibbert, I said, Brother Raymond, could we do something else better than just distributing this paper? Why we should maybe try to print the message here? And the idea came in that way. And so, you see in the back, that's Brother Georges Lamar, that's the owner of the building, and he let us have this building free. So the printing shop was in the first floor, and 2 days or a day after the earthquake, I was told that the building completely collapsed, and I was thinking, well, we lost all the equipment, probably $50,000. And about 4 days after, he called me back. He said, Brother Andre, he said, the three stories collapsed, but when I take a second look, the first floor resists, and all the equipment was saved. So, you see, it was just, you know, and at this place, everything collapsed except this printing shop. And, okay, so now what you see is the beginning of work. When he gave us this place, it was full of stuff, and we repainted it. And this is a brother who was working, and now little by little, we were adding equipment, and now that's one of the first books. They call that SDV, it's mean spring of life or source of life. And we only reproduce what Shekinah. So I'm looking at Brother Lani. I'm close? Okay, well, because the pronunciation in French is different. Shekinah publication by Brother Dioka in Kinshasa, Zaire. And we have till now 2 employers. Now we go on. And this is a brother from my church who helped us a lot. And from the custom now, we brought the paper many, many times. You know, we did that. And so you see, that's a warehouse where we put the paper. And that's the brothers who help us. Now, that's the equipment. That's a collator. You put pages like 250 and number 1, 2, 3 in less than a second, or all the pages are on the top of each other. And now this other machine is a booklets maker. You just feed that in a second. It folds the paper, the books, and put to stable. And he married my niece, and we have a very big problem. We could not have a technician to fix the machine. And Dave, Brother Dave Mitivier, that's his profession, you know, and so he came twice to fix the equipment. Okay, now this is the third part. I will go back to this one. I have to explain a little bit, now I will introduce like the present stage of my ministry. I don't compare this to Brother Branham, but you know, I've been pastoring the church since 18 years, and in the fall of 2008, I overwork. We have books and We are missionary-minded, and we have the Latino-speaking evangelism program, and books, and Haiti, and I did have a burnout. I thought, you know, it's for others, not for me, but it was for me. And well, I have to stop almost 1 year, and last November in 2009, like a couple months ago, I came to a decision, and it was not easy to do. And finally, I did resign from the pastor office, and I told the church, from now on, I will go on mission field. And I told them, and more specifically, Haiti, you see? So, okay, now, and after the earthquake, January the 12th, you see that 222 people died, about 333,000 people were injured, and there is 1 million people homeless. And it is the greatest human disaster since the foundation of UN. And so from that day, I started to receive phone call, and I did myself phone call, hundreds of phone call, and we received hundreds of email. And I told, you know, all the people, all the ministry, all the churches that I knew, I told them about, you know, my experience in Haiti, and I know the country because, you know, people were afraid to send money because if you don't know who is who, it's not too much safe when you know the background, you know, the situation of the country. And I told the people, the churches, that I had already a bank account, so it make it so much easier to transfer money in a safe way, you know. And so for about 2-3 weeks, that's what I was doing, because I was thinking about them, and it was miserable. They were in a miserable condition before, and how after, you see. And so we started to receive email from Russia, England, Scotland, France, Switzerland, New Zealand, Australia, Lebanon, Germany, United States, and Canada. And so far, we have received close to $200,000. And it was just amazing. So I went 2 times since the end of January, and I spent 2 weeks every time. So I just came back about 10 days ago. And even I got my free ticket from Air Transat to travel from Montreal to Port-au-Prince. I wrote them and I asked them, I said, listen, I'm just trying to help the country, and they gave me the free ticket, and also they allowed me to bring double luggage. So I was able to bring the last time 2 tents for a 2 big family that could hold 10 places. And so, I asked them, I said, if I ask you for more ticket, you know, they say, well, just ask and we will give to you. So we gave an average of 5,500 dollars per week to feed about 4,000 people. And you know, I was a little bit worried because, you know, we cannot stand the situation for months and months. You know, the money will decrease, you know. And so, and also they need a shelter, because a lot of them don't still have any places to hide, and the rain season will start very soon. In May it will be very pouring, you know. And so I was thinking, well, I hope I will have enough money to buy some like garage, you know, metal structure with the plastic, something that will fit the situation. And so, and before I left, they started to have some help with the international help. And one brother, his name is Louis Jean, and he has a kind of association in Haiti. And he went to the Mexico ambassadors, and he asked for help. They say, we have nothing to give to you. And he said, you even not have a little water? Oh, they say, yeah, we can do that. And finally, they changed their mind and they gave them two containers. And so, and one guy went to see him and he said, I will give you $20,000 for your container, you see? Thieves, you know, and of course the brother is a believer, but so now it seemed that the help is coming, and so we'll be able to extend the help with the money. We'll see. First, we'll see some pictures about the country, okay, and so you see mountains everywhere. And, of course, the ocean is very nice. So this is the road between, it's close to where it really struck the earthquake. And you see all the streets are moving. And now this is Port-au-Prince. And it's a place called Canapé Vert. And the pastor of the church, he has two... 2,000 people, over 2,000, and he lived right there. And his house collapsed. And when he heard the noise, he just spoke the word. He said, nature, be still. And they just have time to run out. And the house collapsed. And David, he is probably 23, his son, was inside. And so the house collapsed over him. And so they went and they call his name. He said, David, are you here? He said, yes, I'm here. All the furniture, you know, the floor went this way, and all the furniture was pushing him, but he was not wounded. And so they tried to make a hole to get him out of the place. And he said, stop to do that, because every time you heard the wall, It's moving, you see? It's collapsing. And so finally, after a couple hours, they were able to get it out. And his daughter, the pastor's daughter, she was at university. And when she heard, she just started running. And there was a girl behind her. She make it, and the other one didn't. Just building collapse over her. So now you see other pictures. You see, I was always thinking years ago, I said, oh, good Lord, I hope there will never be a earthquake here. Because, you know, I know how they build houses, and this is not safe at all, you know. This is the Catholic Cathedral. Well, so you know this parliament. So you see, two stories collapse, and there were people behind. What you see is a mattress, and a lot of people died. And when I went the first time in town, so I could smell the dead people everywhere. So this picture, you see water. It seemed that the sea water level went up, but that's the opposite. All the ground for maybe miles just collapsed in the ocean, maybe 6-7 feet. And that place was Petit Guave, and 90% of the building were absolutely destroyed. They tried to recuperate some metal. I don't want to go too fast, but, you know, I must respect sometimes. And you see, I was wearing a mask. And here, this picture, you see two cars under the roof of what was a former building. And when they were finding a corpse, you know, 2 weeks after I was there, they brought some cardboard or whatsoever, and they were burning it. So it was smelling, you know, flesh and smoke, you know. That's one of the government buildings. So this picture is where is the church is located. At that place, they used to have 2,000 people gathering. Now, since the earthquake, they divided the group in four different areas. So, and that place during the night is full of people that could not have any place to stay. They have no more rooms, no more houses. Well, I look at this church, and what amazed me is the cross. You see, that's just like a symbol of what's going on in the bigger scale in the future. Only the cross will resist. All the churches will collapse, spiritually speaking. That was an hospital. So there were a lot of people under this building that died. And people were walking and tried to find something that to rescue from the earthquake. So now that's what you see everywhere. And there is no toilets, there is no accommodation, no water. So could you imagine the condition? And you see a line of people, they are waiting for food. This is another place called Cité Soleil, it's very, very dangerous. This place is a very rough place. And now it's a month after, now they start to have a little bit more improvement. And this is what you see right now. There is a street, it's one way this side and one way the other side. You see the top of a truck, and it smells awful, polluted. And people live right in the middle of that place, with the noise, with the smoke, with the heat. And I was thinking, what a miserable condition. But they have no choice. They have no place, nowhere to go, anywhere, any place to go. So we were in the south. We went to see, so this is what you see in Haiti, markets and that's the way they travel. We call them tap-tap. I use that many times. You know, tap-tap means when you want to stop, tap-tap. And so that's very simple. And it's full of color and even scriptures. And it's close to the port, and this place, it just stink so much, and it's a marketplace. So now what you see is an auditorium built by Brother Renel Tennis. He started building that before 2000, maybe a year before, and I invited Brother Green in the year before 2000, and because many people did not heard from a first-hand testimony of Brother Branham in my church. And we talked together, and he asked me, he said, Brother Andre, I would like to go in Haiti. I said, it's possible. He said, could you tell me next time you go? Okay. So I went in March 2000, and I called him. He said, okay, I agree. He said, could you tell the people to rent a place, and instead me to traveling everywhere, they could gather together. I said, well, we can do that. So I wrote them. And just before they had the minister's meeting, the letter arrived, and he was only laid the foundation of that building. And so for the first time in Haiti, they gathered 5,000 people. I have the video of how they worship, if we had time, but another time maybe. And so this is the building before the earthquake. Now, that's after. So after, that's before, it was not completed at that time, it's now. And that's before. Okay, you see two sisters. One is right at the bottom of the stairs. That's Sister Mireille Tennis. And I will just share shortly her testimony. She was probably around 42 years old, and they are close friends to me. And 1 year I went to visit them. Do you mind if I remove that coat? Well, anyhow, I ask you, and I don't wait for the answer. Okay. And so, Sister Mireille, when I went to see her, I was shocked because she had a stroke, and all her left side was not moving. And she was walking like this. I said, Sister Mireille, what did happen to you? She said, Brother Andre, I had a stroke. Oh, I said, no way. And she said, I went to Miami and I tried to see some doctor, and they say, there is nothing we can do. And maybe a year and a half or 2 years after, I went back and I saw Sister Mireille walking normally. I said, Sister Mireille, said, what's happened to you? I said, one day, Brother Bertoni Jean-Charles, he is a minister that I know him very well. I travel many times with him. He came and he greeted me. And I presented my left hand. And Brother Bertoni Jean-Charles said, no, Sister Mireille, that's not the way God make you. I refuse that. You give me your right hand in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, and what she did, she took her left hand and she gave her hand to him. And so, and after he left, but the next night, in the morning, around 5 in the morning, she heard a voice, and the voice told her, Mireille, lift up your hands and give me glory. And she lifted one hand, and the voice said, I said that your two hands, and she did that. And she jumped out of the bed, and her leg came completely healed, and she started to shout, praise the Lord! You know, and she almost make a stroke to her husband, you know. So he was, what's happened? What's happened to you? You know, and as she looked at him, she said, Renal, I'm healed, you know, praise the Lord. And she was walking everywhere, and she was going to the neighborhood, and she said, look what Jesus has done for me. Look what Jesus has done for me. You see? Well, this is a little extra. I may go a little bit behind my half hour, but I think it's worth it. Eh? Okay. So now that's the building. Okay, that's before the back of the building, and that's now. Okay, and now wells, and this is houses, and this is the market. I told you, stinking so much, street market. And, we saw already that one. And so now they gathered outside. They have no, if it's raining, I don't know what they're going to do. You see, they protect now just from the sun. And there is probably like 600 people gathering on Sunday. And this is the committee that is in charge to distribute food. And we went with them 3 times to the UN, tried to get some help, but we could not succeed. Because, you know, they don't trust people. So it's the biggest problem is the government. And so here we were. And this line was probably three quarter miles long. They were waiting for food. And sometimes, of course, they push and they... Some there is some thief, and they gave some coupon, and so it's so unfair that one guy will give 20 to the same guy, so he will send some other people, and finally he will get all the stuff, and he will sell that on the black market and make money from that. So I saw many, many lines like this. Okay, so we went toward the south. Okay, I may go to these pictures. You see there is a lake behind. And 2 years ago, between Port-au-Prince, there was two lakes. And both of them, 2 years ago, the water level increased of about 6, 8, or 9 feet. You see, something was in preparation. And now they have to make another road because the road was by the lake. Now we have to. So this, believe it or not, this is a restaurant where we went and we eat. Of course, we asked the Lord to sanctify the food before. Okay, this is one of the church. And this is the collapsing and the committee. So another group. There, and you see... it's amazing when you see them, the way they worship. It seems that that it's you are that he is in a bad condition. They seem to be happy and they don't complain, you know, because they get they acquainted with suffering, you see, and they know they depend on God. So I went to a Bible store. That's it. Okay, that's me again. Okay. So this is a public market, believe it or not. And this family, the man that you see is Brother Guy Cantave. He's a representative for Voice of God. And that day, he would like to stay home. That was his birthday. And his wife told him, I said, Guy, why don't you, that's your birthday today. Why don't you do that tomorrow and coming to the school because they own a school. And so, he said, okay, I will do that. And so he was not in his home. And the daughter she, with the green sweater, so she asked her mother to buy a cake for the anniversary. And she really insisted. She said, okay, you go. And so when the earthquake arrived, nobody was at home. So, you know, both of them could die. At the very same place, there is four people who died. They are not believers, but God has spared them, you see. Okay, that's me with Brother Jean Baptistien. We went on that mountain for a weekend, and now that's what you see on every direction. And so now we are in a high mountain. We took a tap-tap to go there, and from the secondary road, we were three people in a small motorcycle. And so, and I was holding the bag before, you know, the driver was here, and I was holding the bag, and there was somebody squeezing me like a sandwich. And so, when we arrived here, we took about 2 hours to get to the little place, the church. And so this brother brought his little donkey or ass, and so we brought the luggage. That's a cemetery. You see, that's an old church. That's the trip we went. But this area, most of the people are already Christian. And you see, they are very easy to win. If you, because they are not too much, they didn't go to the seminary and so on. It's not rare when a pastor hear about the message that he is get convicted because he doesn't belong to a strong denominational and he will baptize his whole church. It's not rare. Well, you see the little house, that kind of house like this that we sleep. So this is the church. It's fresh. The wind could go through in the rain. This is the church. And now, after the church service, you see all the people, we were going down to the river to be baptized. And all the way they were singing, that was beautiful. You're going to see that on the video. So this is the road. It's quite high. Well, I cannot give all the explanation, you know. It will take too much time. Oh, well, this is the pastor. The first one you see closest to you is Brother Guy Lamotte. He is the pastor of the biggest church, 2,000 people. And he lost everything. So I took a little plane to go in the north of the country to visit some churches. And there is a brother who worked for this company and he could get a ticket for half of the price. And at the left side is Brother Eddie Baltazar, and he is a missionary, and he founded about 12 churches. And the one at my right side is Brother Michelet. And this brother used to be a mason. Since 2 years, there is no work for him. And he has 13 children. And they are 15. And there is absolutely no way, no nothing, you know, to survive. He lived by faith. And he told me, and I told him that I will tell the people, that if he had like about $1,000, he would be able to build like a cistern, and a truck will fill it up, and he will be able to sell the water and make enough to support his family. And there is a sister in the same church. She just left her her husband died. Brother Serge Laguerre, I knew him, and they had like 9, 10 children, and now she had 22 people to support. And I gave him a couple hundred U.S. dollars. I said, "Sister, try to start a little market." And so, it's just beautiful. This is one of the first men who received the message, Brother Conserve, Antonio Conserve. This is the pastor. That's the tent I brought to him. And that's the new place where we're going to print. And you see, that's Port-au-Prince after a month and a half, and they started to remove the collapsed building. And now this is the same way. And here, this is the auditorium. And you see the size is about 256 by 256. I'm going to tell you a little later. Okay. Okay, so now... what I have on my heart is to, well, I go to the former one, you know, about the size of this land, okay, and there is a land for sale right there. And I could have this land for about a quarter of the price. And that's where now the city will be built, the next city. And so what I have in mind is... a bride health center, a place where we will be able to provide clothes, second-hand clothes, dentists. I saw many people with toothache for weeks, and they have no money to remove that teeth. You see, high care, a lot of people, they lost their glasses, medical care, orphanage, you know. And I told many pastors, I said, I have faith to build that. And, you know, George Mueller have a faith for the needs, and I want to apply the same faith. And so I want to buy this place and start a little to build something, and all together we can make it. You see, Brother Branham said, "Ask much." I'm going to give you a quote. "You can never exhaust God's love and mercy to you. You say, 'Well, I hate to bother you so much, Father.' He wants to be bothered that way. He does. Don't never think that you could ever ask too much of God. I believe the scripture said, 'You have not because you ask not, and you ask not because you believe not.' He wants us to ask and believe that our joy would be full. He wants you to ask abundantly. I don't ask for myself, I ask for others. Ask for big things. Don't limit your faith to some little mustard seed. You see? Get on out here to some other kind of faith and move out in big thing. Ask. Big thing is just as easy to receive as little things. You just have to believe. That's all. And you got faith, just know exactly how to use it, and it will be all right. You can put it right to work, and it will just be fine. Praise the Lord. You know, a scripture, and we're going to see the video. In James 2, verse 5, "My beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him?" Amen. And another quote, and he said, If we all work together to try to help our fellow men to make life a little better for them, to make their journey a little more pleasing, I think God will be more pleased with all of us. Amen. Amen. Don't you think so? So if you our motives are right, amen, your hearts are right with God, we are trying to do everything we can to help make life a little more blessed for each one. Amen. Okay, so now that's going to be the last part of this presentation. That's going to be the video. And I told them, I said, don't ever envy us. You say, oh, we have a lot of materials. And I said, Jesus said, if you have clothes and food, that's enough. And I said, the problem with us, we are possessed by the thing we possess. We have to fix that. We have to fix that thing. And you see, that's life. But they have a lot of time to pray and they have, you see, well, that's the condition. Okay, now we go to the video. Oops, I'm sorry. He tried to teach me how it's work, but okay. Okay. This church that you are going to see years ago, and I know it's the same situation, they are probably, like you see, maybe 300, and there was only four people who has a work. One was a doctor, his wife a nurse, and the third one was working for the telephone company, and the fourth, I don't know. but four people. I said, how could you make it? I've been there 21 times, and they say we live by faith.
Hallelujah.
And I said, how it is? He said, God is faithful. It's a miracle, you know. To me, it's a miracle. This is another place. It's a Cap Haïtien, the second in importance, the second town. And the brother who is a missionary, he opened this church maybe 20 years ago. I've been there. I was preaching in the kitchen. And so now they are 1,000 believers. And he opened himself a dozen of churches. And, okay. You see, you saw how they worship. You see, when I'm alone, I let go. You know, I dance. But when there is another Canadian, and I come back. Just. So you see, but you know, more you are among them, more you feel comfortable. You see.
Pour mieux parler à Cuba.
No, I was speaking Creole, and they translated me. Well, I don't know why.
Combien ils sont capables de lire le français?
Combien?
Now we were going to baptize the people. My sins are in the ocean. They roll him in the ocean. I will walk with Jesus. Shalom, Jerusalem.
Thank you.
That's it. You know, I could speak for hours because every face is, there is a story behind. But anyhow, so why don't we stand up and maybe we could sing a little bit? Now you have a model, so I expect you to walk a little bit more around your chair. Well, it would be too much to ask from you. So why don't we sing "I Will Enter His Gate" before we go? We turn to the sermon. Okay, okay. So and clap your hands. That will give you a stimulation for your circulation. And just think about praising God. You see, they are free. They love the Lord. So, you know, offer Him a sacrifice. If even you are not feeling to do that, do it anyhow. We start clapping. Okay.
I will enter His gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for you.
Thank you. Saul, now greet somebody around you. Okay. Good. And tell them you love them. I love you. I love you. Praise God. Amen. Now I feel more relaxed. Amen. Okay, so now let us just bow our heads. Okay, everyone. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to be a Christian. Such a privilege to know this message. Such a privilege to know in which hour we are in. And such a privilege to have such a promises. Lord, we are not like those 10 spies with a negative report. We are like Joshua and Caleb. Whatsoever could be the problem, the collapsing of churches, the problem, the scandal, whatever it might be, Lord, we believe in You. We believe that You've chosen us and You will make us true and we will reach the golden city, the golden door of Jerusalem one day and we will receive our rewards. Now we ask You to anoint You, humble servant, and help Your people here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you don't mind, just turn in the Bible in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. So the title of my message today is God's Return Law. Okay. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. Amen. While you are still standing up, we're going to read another scripture, Isaiah chapter 55, from verse 8 to 11. Now in Galatians, it's a warning. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. You know, you won't be deceived by others, by the Catholic system or the Protestant. You could be deceived by yourself. Be not deceived. God wants us to sow. How could you expect a crop if you never sow seed in your garden? That's the way God thinks about our lives. Now, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than our thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and return not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return. You see, that's God's return law. Shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen. May the Lord bless His word. You may sit. And so if you see now, we have a principle. God said, like the rain fell and bring a crops, that's the same thing with my word that I send. There is a purpose and there is a return law with my word. And you see, and you see the word prosper. So we are Christians, so maybe for a couple years, some for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, and we want to prosper in our faith. Amen. You see, we rub our shoulder to a Laodicean mentality. It's the people rights. Paul said you can do anything, but anything is not profitable for you. You see? And all the markets, all the store, everything is going in one direction. Buy, buy. You need to buy this. You need to buy that. It's just material things, you see? And now the Bible said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by this evil age. And Brother Branham said, this evil age, the problem is the world. You see? It's the world. And we want to prosper. Now we all know how Brother Branham explained to us how God's word are the expression of His thoughts. We know that. And God couldn't have a new thought. Think about that. This morning, for the next week, God has a plan for your life and He could not change anything. You see, our mistake, wrong choice, permissive will, you know, He will turn it to this perfect will. You see, your name were written before the foundation in the book of life. We have to believe that. And Jesus was sacrificed before the foundation of the world. It's a question of predestination. Jesus said to His disciple, you didn't choose me, but I choose you. That's the same thing with us this morning. This is not you searching God, that God searching you, and He found you. Amen. And I will quote some scripture. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So don't try to convince somebody, you know, if he's not predestinated, you can talk, but you have to stop one time because, you know, if it's not given from heaven. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. That's the one who started the work, and He will finish the work. Could you say amen at that? You say amen for yourself. Amen. Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given into him of my Father. Amen. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will not in no wise cast out. Here we are, you see? He cannot cast you out. Amen. Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Amen. Amen. You see, in Genesis, we see how the Word of God works. Of course, it's very basic this morning. I will establish, you know, something. And Paul said in his letter, I repeat all the time the same thing. And we enjoy coming to the church. Amen. Because why? It's a vitamin. We don't eat bread only with the Word of God. Amen. So we know that earth was without form and void and darkness were everywhere. It's exactly us. That's the type of us. We were going nowhere. We were in darkness without form, you see? And listen now. And the Spirit of God started to move upon the waters. So what means waters? People. So now we can apply that thing today. You see? And Brother Branham said in the message, the seed is not here with the stock. He said, the same Logos move now upon the churches trying to bring the Word to its full manifestation. Amen. Full manifestation. Amen. So that's what we want to prosper. Amen. The outside man decrease and the inner man increase. Amen. You see, the principle of Genesis, and God said, let it be light, and there was light. You see, that's God's return law in operation. And after he said, and God said, let the water on the heaven be gathered, you know the scripture. And it was so. And God said, let the herd bring forth grass, etc. And it was so. That, you see, that's God's return law in operation and on and on and on. You see, it's the same pattern through the whole Bible. You see, it's like in Isaiah, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that was God's returning law in operation. And one day it's been fulfilled. You see, and many people, when you talk about the Bible, if they don't know the Bible, it was always just like a moral ethic, you know, or something. But they don't understand at all that the Bible is a prophetic books. Amen. And Paul said to the Ephesians, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Could you say amen to that? Have you been predestinated? No. Have you been predestinated? Sure. You know, if you say nothing, the devil will come and will sit right behind on your side. Okay. He said, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who work all things. After the counsel of his own will, he worked all things. Don't be worried this morning. That we should be to the praise of his glory. This is the purpose in your life. That we should be the praise of his glory. We are here to praise him. Amen. Who first trusted in Christ. You see, the true worship is when you are through a big trial and by faith you started to praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, I don't understand, but I trust you. I love you and I worship you. I don't understand why I suffer so much. I don't understand why it's unfair. And you know, God is like this. Come on, angel. Look at this man. Look at this sister. That's the true worship. You see, they are in a problem. They are in a trouble. And they worship me anyhow. You see, that's the true. And that's the purpose of God. He look up to our life and he is waiting to see our reaction to an action. Amen. Amen. And Paul said to Romans chapter 11, don't turn, he said, for of him and through him and to him are all things. that we should be to the praise of His glory.
Amen.
Amen. You see, for of Him, I will give you an example. One day I told my wife, Sister Suzanne, I said, I'm going to buy you those little oven bread, you know, that you cook one bread at a time. You just put eggs and whatever, flour and milk, you know, I don't know the receipt, the recipe, but you know, you just program it, and during the night at 3 a.m, you know, you feel to have your breakfast already, you know, it smells so good. And I have this idea, I will offer one. And so, you know, the idea was of me, you see? And it was through me, and it was for me. You see, our God is simple. We are of Him and through Him by the Lord Jesus. He redeemed everything for us and to Him. And we are there to the praise of His glory. Amen. Amen. Now, we all know that God has a time of dispensation for every age, and we know that the former age will not work for this one, so you all know that, you see. And so we know that now he has sent His word, and somebody will fulfill the word. That's God's return law. Now He said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet to bring you back to the Father's faith. Amen. According to God's return law, His word will return to Him and will produce His will, a bride.
Amen.
You know, to me, it's that simple like this. It's so simple, you know. And in the message, recognizing your day and its message in 64, listen very carefully now. He said, Brother Branham spoke about Russia. He said, 40 years ago, they just were a bunch of ignorant, big old Siberians, the beard all over their face and didn't know right and left hand. But in the space of 40 years, now they leads the world in science. We are way back behind her, and all the world is behind her. Why? Why? He said, to fulfill the prophecy. You see, in 93, you know, the threeism, fascist, Nazis, and communism would become communism. You see, it was a prophecy. Now it's fulfilled.
Yes.
You see, and now we know it's a tool. Okay, he said, like Israel, I'd get to the homeland. God has had to drive Israel back to the homeland for the trumpet to fulfill prophecies. As was promised, they don't know how it was ever done. They don't know how it was ever done.
Amen.
You see? They suffer like everything, martyrdom under the trumpets, but they are in their homeland. They don't know why nation force put her in her place.
Amen.
You see? The program of God. And at the same time, he said, the bride has recognized the evening light, just being to recognize, and God has recognized that there is a people on her that He predestinated to life.
Amen.
Amen. He recognized this is the time to send His message. He did it. The people has recognized it. The bride time has realized the evening light. Now, I'm going to say something. He said, national forces put Israel in her homeland. National forces will put the church in the World Council of Churches.
Amen.
Listen now. But the power of God will put the people in the bride. You see, it's over your will. It's over your... It's not depending of, you see, a lot of do or don't.
That's right.
It's a question if you receive the word of God in your heart like a seed.
Amen.
like a promise. The word forces this way and the word forces that way, but God forces upward. The Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, my Word is Spirit and life, will put the bride in her place.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because she'll recognize her position in the Word, then she is in Christ.
Amen.
Will put her in her place. No national force will do it, but the power of God will raise the bride into glory out of it.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You see, you have to find a place or a resting place. Like Abraham, there was a promise that was done, that was given to him. You see, and Abraham was just walking by this promise. You know, it's like in Haiti, I did this illustration many times. I was, before the service, I will ask a brother, I said, how many money did you got in your pocket, wallet? Most of the time they will say none. But, so I will give them like 50 gourd, okay? And after I said, you will understand later. So I started to preach and I speak, I will preach about the promises of God. And so finally I said, brother, why don't you come close to me? So he stand here and I ask him, how much money do you have? Of course I know how much. So he will say, 50 gourd. I say, okay, thank you. So now you stay here. I said, now everyone, you see, I have 50 gourd here. I promised before you that I'm going to give it to him. But the problem is that I keep that money, you know. I said, now how much money do you have? He said, 50 gourd. So I go back and I wait a little bit. I said, now, okay, did you really understand my question? I said, how much money do you got now? He said, 50 gourd. I said, okay, now, do you accuse me to be a liar? So he started to be a little bit intimidated. I said, I promised you. So I said, how much money do you have now? So he knows that there is something that he doesn't understand. So finally he said, 100? I said, right. You see, a promise is like something you already have. And so I give 50 other gourd and he go back and sit. You see? It's very simple, but that's the way you should see a promise. It's something that you have already. Healing whatsoever, you see? But you have to confess, I have it. This is the promise. The Holy Spirit's promise is like I have it. God cannot lie. Amen. Hallelujah. So we want to see more God moving in our midst, don't you? You see, He is the same, and those signs will follow the believers. You know, that's a God's return law. But we must fit the condition. It's not how capable we are, but how available we are. So God needs you.
Amen.
Yourself, not your capacity. You see, so all depends of how we receive the Word of God. With quality, with faith,
amen.
With intensity, how we apply it in our daily life.
Yes.
Amen.
That's the way to see God's return law working in our lives.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Jesus spoke of a man who sowed seed. You know the scripture, but don't look at for 2,000 years ago, so apply it for now. You see, the first seed fell on the road. So the bird came and eat all what was sown. The devil will come and will try to remove the word of God sown in your heart. And he does the same thing.
Amen.
Oh, you believe it intellectually. But you know, if he can remove the power of the word of God, you know, the spirit behind the word. You know, if you remove the faith, you know, it's just like intellectual faith. You see, he tried to do that on a daily basis. Okay? Amen. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word, ask and it shall be given in unto you. Now I travel in Haiti and I will go in Haiti. Now if you ask me, where do you stay? Where do you abide? If I stay, I say in Haiti, well, this is not really the place where I abide because I go once in a while. But abide is a place where you stay. You sit, you live, you see? And you see, if you abide in me, it's more than just to say once in a while, I go and I come back. You see? I go Sunday and I come back home. It's not abiding in him. You see, God's one us completely. You see? Okay, now the second fell in a shallow soil, you see, and a small root, not enough moisture, drive. That's what I call a dry life. And most of us, we are caught in this category. Yeah, well, we have life, but it's a dry life. Right. Amen. We see, the devil come and he sow problems, trials come, temptation comes, and it's bring a dry life. Right. You see, roots are not deep enough and the seed dry up. You see, during Israel's journey to the Promised Land, they have all kinds of problems. But that was the occasion to God to manifest His power, His care about them. You see? So trial is not a negative thing. You know, there was a story one day, a king decided to put somebody on a test, and he put a big stone right in the middle of a road. So the people were walking, and so finally they were seeing this big stone. And so they were just passed around and continued their way. And this king was just, he hid himself in the bush behind, and he was watching the scene. And so come some people, they just complained. They said, look at this. So the road are in a miserable condition, and they complain against the king, and he was right behind him, behind them. You see, and that's the way we react most of the time. When there is a problem, we start to complain. You see, but the king is just behind us, and he look at the scene. And so finally, there came a peason, and he has a full sack of vegetable. He was going in town to sell it. And when he saw the big stone, he was thinking, oh, this could be dangerous. I should remove that stone. So he put his bag away and he just pulled that stone away. And so when he came back to pick his bag again, back, what he saw at the place of the stone, there was a little sack of gold pieces. You see? And so finally, this man learned that difficulties are a stepping stone to improve our condition. You see, that's exactly right. And so he went out with money, you know, because he faces the problems. He don't try to overpass the problem. You see, problem, trials, temptation come. And Brother Branham said they are hiding blessing. I think maybe just 10% believe that. Well, maybe after the service I will make you believers. You know, in Romans chapter 8, we know the scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. To them who are the called according to His purpose. So if you cannot say amen to that, not amen when everything is fine, but amen when you are in the middle of the problem. That's where you must trust God. You know, there was a story. There was an African king, and he was raised since his childhood with his best friend. And of course, he became a king. And his best friend, he was a very positive man. Whatsoever happened in life, he used to say this saying, This is a good thing. You know, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. And so they went hunting together. And so the king gave him his gun. He said, put some powder in my gun. So his friend put some powder, and probably he put too much powder. And when the king fired with his gun, the gun explodes. And he lost his thumb. And so he was just, you know, suffering. And his friend looked at the scene. He said, this is a good thing. So after he didn't realize, you know, that the king was so angry against him, he said, what did you say? This is a good thing? Hey, he said, I will make you think about that. So he put him in a jail for 1 year. And so, and the king, about a year after, he went hunting in a new place, and he was alone, and he was caught by cannibal. And so they bring him to their village, and they put him to a stake, and the fire was ready to burn him. And so that was a difficult situation. But one of those men looked at his hand, and he noticed that he only had 9 fingers, and they were superstitious. And he said, come on. And so they were discussing. And so finally they decided, no. It could be a bad thing. You know, we let him go. So they untie him, and he went back home. And he was thinking, well, after all, my friend was right. That was a good thing that I lost my thumbs. And so he went to the prison to apologize to his friend. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I did the wrong thing. I did a bad thing. He said, no, it was a good thing. He said, how could you say that? I let you suffer for a year in a prison. He said, no, it was a good thing. How could you say that? He said, well, it's very simple. He said, my king, if I had not been in jail, I would have been with you, and I would have been eaten. You see, because we don't see more longer than our nose. So everything works together. You see, when something happens, don't think all the time about money. That's the problem. You know, something will happen in your life. You say, oh, money. Money, money, money. So you won't bring money in heaven. God has a more important goal than make you rich and have a big house and whatsoever, you know. Amen. Okay, now the third part, fall among the thorns. So groan, but show. You see, no fruit at maturity. The devil come, make people busy with care of lives, deceitfulness of riches. You see, like I said to the Haitian people, I said, we are possessed by the thing we possess. We have to fight against that. The fourth one fell in a good soil. That's the one who heard the word here, understand it, second, and bear fruits. You see, that's God's return law, bringing forth some 160-30. You see, sign following the believers. You see, hearing, understanding, have a revelation, and bearing, produce, put it in action. You see? You see, God is not greater than His Word. He's not greater than His Word. And a Christian is not greater than his faith in the Word of God. Amen. That's right. You see, James said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You see, another deception. Don't just listening the word, be doers. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. You see, the problem with time, we became lazy. We don't matter about reading the message or listening, Brother Branham, or reading the Bible, fasting and praying. Don't be deceived yourself. Salvation is your own business. So don't be like a thermometer. You see a thermometer? So if the church is very in fire, you are in fire. If the church is in a low state, sad and no victory, yeah, well, you are like a thermometer. Be a thermostat. You see, not depending on others. Amen. You see, it's one day Peter said to Jesus, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I said unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold." Now, in this time, and brethren, and sister, and mothers, and children, and land, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. You see, that's the principle. If you give, you surrender your life to God, He will take care of you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You see, there is an old sister. Oh, I have water. Wonderful. You see, this is a miracle. I don't know where the water came from. I didn't see. Well, now, there is an old sister. She is close to 90 years old. And since 10 years, my wife, more than that, maybe 20 years, 25 years, she was in isolated place, and while she was in her 60s, she was in the middle of a little parish, and they were all Catholic, and she heard about the message, and alone, against all the, you know, the family, she stand for Jesus and for the message, you see, and now my wife and I, we take care of her since 10 years, and every time she see us, and she said, "You are like an angel." Well, I don't think I look like an angel. Not yet. You see, but you know, that's the way she says, "Oh, I appreciate you so much, so much." One day I said, "Sister Claire, you must understand something. You see, one day you care about God. You are in your 60s. You have to pay a price. But now there is a return law. God decided in your whole days that He will use somebody to take care of you." You see, that's the way to see it. You see, God has provided. I said, don't thank us, thanks the Lord, because you sow something that you reap now. I believe that. A couple months ago, you know, I have a little problem with, I have a trailer behind my car, and I forget that I have this trailer. So I make a back, and I have a jackknife. And behind the left side of the car, you know, there was like a puck. I don't know how you call that. And so I went to see a friend, and I said, his name is Mario. I said, "Mario, could you fix that for me?" "Oh, no problem." I said, "I will pay. I don't go with the insurance. I will pay it myself." Okay. So after a couple of days, he called me back. He said, "Okay, your car is ready." So I went. I looked at the job. Perfect. I said, "Now, how much I own you?" He looked at the bill. He said, "Oh," he said, "Andre," he said, I want to remove some money on your bill." I said, "Mario," I said, "you are not obligated to do that. You have employers to pay electricity." "You know," I said, "you are not obligated. There is no problem. I will pay." "No," he said, "I will remove $100. I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yeah." Well, I know he is a generous man. I didn't want to, you know, take advantage. And so and I told him, I said, excuse me. I said, "Mario, I recognize that maybe 18 years ago, I brought you a refrigerator that I want to give to a poor family. And the refrigerator need to be repainted. Do you remember that?" I said, "Yes, I remember that." And so, and I sand it, and I put some masking tape, and you paint it. And when I asked you how much I own you, you told me it's my participation. I said, you see, you are still the same. And I said, Mario, there is a return law. There is a God's return law about the situation. You know, and I started, so we went inside and he was shaking. He said, could you feel the bill? You know, and I didn't know, but he has the Parkinson disease. So I fill up the bill. And after I told him, I said, Mario, I said, you know, there is hope for you. God is a healer. Even if you don't know too much about the Bible, but if you believe in Jesus Christ, and in a very, very simple way, in a very short time, I explained him about salvation. I said, I must tell you what I believe. And you know, he really respect me. And so I said, well, I will share with you a testimony, because when you give something, you know, of course you don't brag, I give so much money to this one. You know, it's not the Bible, you know, but just for the testimony. I said, Mario, one day there was a little couple, and they did not have a pastor, and they asked me to marry them. So I went, and after the ceremony and the supper, I went back to the room, and I looked in my pocket, there was an envelope. And I looked, there was no signature, and there was $700 in that envelope. I was thinking, who in the world puts that money in my pocket? And you know, it was just a time I need that money. You know, I said, praise the Lord. But finally, where we were staying, the sister was struggling with cancer. I know she has to spend a lot of money. So before I left, I put you know, a bill of $100 and I left. And I met four people like this. You know, I was thinking, hey, I receive freely. I'm a rich man, you know. I could be very generous, you know. You know, I have $700. And so finally, I kept 300, you see. So about 2-3 days after, I went in my office. And when I opened the door, there was an envelope on the floor. I took it. And that was written for you, Brother Andre, a special tithe or something like this. And when I opened it, there was $400, the same amount. I said, well, praise the Lord. You see? You see, that's God's return law. Give and it shall give it to you. And so I told him this testimony. He was thinking, wow. But I was about leaving, and now he received the second phone call, and I said, okay, I was thinking that it's enough for today. I will let alone. And so he hung up his phone. He said, Andre, I said, yes. He said, you told me about this God's return law. Yes, yes. I said, he said, you see by the window this little red car? Yes. He said, I just sold the car. And he said, this is the customer that was online to tell me that he is coming right now to add $100 to the cost of the car. You see, I told him, I said, you see, Mario, what I told you.
Amen.
You see, that's just supernaturally. And of course, I told him, I said, Mario, I'm sure that now you are open to the gospel. He said, yeah. He said, come anytime. You see? And so with Malachi, so about tithes and offering, what God did say. You see? You know, there was a banker one day, and he has a son, and he would like to teach him business. And so he lent money, gave him 50 cents. He said, now you go to school and find a little boy that you trust, and you lend money, and after you ask like 5 cents more, and when you will return the money, and so you will learn by this. So after the end of the day, so the lad came back, and the father said, okay, now what have you done with the money? He said, well, he said, I saw a little young boy, and he has no shoes, and he has no money for his lunch, and I just gave him the money. So the man said, well, he said, business is business, my son. So you will learn. you won't learn anything about that, this principle. Okay, so now he said, I will give you a second chance. I will give you $1. And so when he said that, the boy started to laugh. And he was laughing like crazy. He said, what's the matter with you? Well, he said, Daddy, he said, last week the Sunday school teacher told us that the scripture says in Proverbs 19:17, give to the poor is lended unto the Lord, and he will pay back even double. He said, I didn't know that he was doing to do it so fast. Amen, amen. You see, and the church messenger, Martin, you see, you know this story. He was not yet a Christian. He was a soldier. And he saw one cold night, he saw this poor man, you see, without nothing, you know. And so he just cut his clothes and to cover him. Okay, where I put that? Okay, I'm all mixed with my pages. Oh, here it is. Okay, and so and he cut his coat in two parts, and he saw that night Jesus wrapped in the same half coat, fulfilling the scripture, verily I say unto you, on so much as ye have done in it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You see, that's God's return law. You see, God's return law. There is so many examples. You see, in Matthew, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. You see? And there will be a return law. You see, sometimes we believers, we like very profound, deep mysteries and the seal. That's good. But the problem is that you don't apply it in your daily life. And you don't consider your neighbor or the other man is maybe in a denomination. You know, you put yourself too high. You see, and you don't let God move in your life. And you see... okay, so now he said, for this is the law and the prophet. You see, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. If we could only apply this little principle amongst you folks.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's very simple. You know, Jesus, that's why I love the gospel, because it's something simple, you see. There was a little story about, you see, I'm very slow because, well, English is not my first language. And, you know, if I preach in French, we will be already out. But, you know, you have to bear with me. So, amen. So, well, this is a true soldier, a true story. I mean, it's about a soldier that went to the Korea War. And, you know, it's many, many years ago. And so his parents did not have any news of him. And so finally, one day, his mother received a phone call, and that was him. She said, where are you? He said, they were living in the East Coast, and he was on the West Coast. He said, I'm at San Francisco. And she said, oh, you just arrived. Yes, Mom, I'm coming on my way. And she was so happy, you know. And she said, Mom, I'm bringing my buddies with me. She said, no problem. He said, well, he said, you must understand that he is quite injured with the war. He only has one eye, one arm, and one leg. She said, no problem. We could have him for a week. No, he said, Mom, you don't understand. I want him to live with us. Oh, she said, oh, yeah, he can stay for maybe 6 months or a couple times. No, he said, Mom, you don't understand. He needs us. So I want him to stay all the time with us. So she started to say, listen, my son, You are too much emotional. You know, you went to the war. She said, this man will be a hindrance, will be a burden for us. We lost our liberty and on and on. You know, she started to say, no, it will change too much our life. And so finally she heard, she just hang on the phone and there was no more voices. And so, and the next day they received a telegram that he killed himself. And so a week after they received the corpse, and to her amazement, so they, when they see their son, he has one eye, one arm, and one leg. And so they have an unspeakable sorrow. You see? It's a principle. It's a God's return law. You see? Amen. There is many scripture, but I think I will maybe cut, you know, Psalm 37, verse 14. Oh my, okay, I will skip. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needed and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their word shall enter into their own heart, and their bowels shall be broken. You see, there is a dozen of scripture, but I will skip, you know, because it's going to be too long. So you remember the story of Mardukus and Haman, you know, in the story of Esther. You see, and Mardukus, Haman wanted to hang Mardukus, and so finally there was a love return, and finally the same the gallows of 50 cubits that he prepared to hang Mardukia. You see, that was a God's return law, and he went on that the same thing. And you see, I can see if somebody tried to destroy you, or, you know, there is a law. You know, they will destroy themselves. You see? That's why I believe that when we take communion, you see, we must really discern the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. You see, many, many principles, but I have to hurry a little bit. You see, if you forgive your brother, and God will forgive you also. This is a return law, you know. Amen. And in Matthew, for with what judgment ye judge, he shall be judged, and with that measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So one day one of my deacons said, my biggest problem is with dealing with somebody that doesn't show mercy. I said, you're exactly alike. That's your problem. If you cannot show mercy to the one that cannot go... show mercy, what are you? You are not better than the other one. You see, it's like somebody who says, oh, I'm not patient with somebody who is not patient. There's a return law, you see. Okay, so now let us go and we go to David. You see, David saw one night Bathsheba and, you know, the wife of Uriah, and you know all the story, and so finally he did wrong with her, and okay, I will skip the details. And so when the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he told the story of the two men that had the flocks, and one was rich with a lot of herds, and the other one has only a little lamb that was eating with him. And so finally this rich man stole the story, and instead to take one of them. And when David heard that, his anger was really, really high, and he said, surely this man shall die. And Nathan told him, you are that man. There was a return law, you see, sins. You see, but David repented, I sinned. And Nathan said, God forgive you, but there was a God's return law, your consequences. You see, if we sin, God will forgive us, but there will always have consequences. Right, You see? He said, now thereof the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and it shall lie with thy wife in the sight of this son. For thou this it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. You see? Well, you know the story. Now we will see in type how God broke that law of sin. You see? Now the child that was born became sick. You see? And David prayed because it was told that the son will die. Pardon. Excuse me. David prayed and he fasted for 7 days. You know, it took like a seven-age church. You see? And the scripture is very clear. The soul that sinned, it shall die. Now, it should be David, because he said, the man who did that should die. And now somebody else was dying at his place, his son. You see, in type, it was the son of David that one day should come and died at the place of David. The son of David should come one day and died and broke this return law, you know, the law of sin. So now we, you know, by the grace of the Lord, we are over to any judgment. You see, everything is settled. Because Jesus took the same law, God's return law, and he paid the price, and now we are free. So he gave us everything that Adam's lost. So, you know, it's time for us not to look at yourself like nothing, like nobody. You know, you are sons and daughters of God. You have rights. If you take the word of God and you apply it, it will work.
Amen. That's right.
It's that simple. You see, okay, now I have to... I'm sorry, you know, I took more time with the slide, but... Okay, I'm finishing now. So there is a story that I really enjoy. Years ago, there was a man. He was like a pastor. He likes to do evangelist work around his church building, and he has a little bus. And he was visiting and knocking at the door. And one day, he knocked at one door, and just came a little boy, 9 years old. And he opened the door. He said, the pastor said, where is your parents? Oh, he said, they are not here. The lad said, oh, I'm only with my little brother, and every weekend I'm the one to care about him, and my parents, they just take off for every weekend. And the man was thinking, my, this is not possible. And so, and finally... he said, may I go in? So, he said, you can come. And they went in the living room. There was an old couch with foam and spring exposed, you see. And he said, where do you go to church? He said, I never went to any church. So, and finally he said, would you like to hear the greatest love story ever told? And so the little lad said, yeah, I would like to hear about that. And he told him about Jesus, that was the gift of God. And he asked him, he said, would you like to receive this gift of God in your heart? And the little lad was really touched by the story. And he said, yes, I would like. So they knelt down and they prayed, and he accepted the Lord Jesus in his heart. And so he said, and the pastor, before leaving, he said, tomorrow morning I will be here at 7 with a little bus, and I will bring you and your little brother to the church. And so, oh, he was excited. So the next morning So he came, and when he arrived at the church, it was a big church, and he saw nice people, smiling, very gentle. And so, and finally, that was his first time he was watching and hearing the song. He was so amazed. And so finally, he saw some big, huge man with a big wooden plate, dish or whatever. So, and they started to run the elves, and he was wondering, what is this? So finally, he said, oh, he said, I guess it's a gift. They want to give a gift to Jesus, because Jesus gave his life for us, and they want to give a gift. So finally, the plate was running, and so finally, the plate come to his place, and he hold the plate, and he wished he could have some money, but he didn't have anything to put in the dish. He was thinking, oh, I feel so bad. I cannot give anything to Jesus. So finally, he was looking this this wood plate running. And so finally, they put that in the back of the church. And so after a while, he was always watching this plate. And so he stand up, and he went and he asked the deacon to hold that plate. The deacon didn't know what to do, so finally he gave him the plate. And so he took the plate and he put it in the floor, and he sat in the plate. And he said, he lifted his eyes, he said, Jesus, I don't have anything to give you today, but just me. I give you me. So I was thinking, this is a great story. You know, sometimes we think we have, oh, we pay our tithes offering. Oh, that's good. We give to the mission field. That's good. You know, we do our part. But God is not interested in that. He is interested in you. Yourself. The whole of you. Could we stand up, please? Amen. Well, every time we come to church, it's all this time to reconsecrate our lives. So there is a challenge, you know, it's a faith challenge. Not just hearer, but doers of the Word of God. You know, don't stay at home, or if you go shopping, don't shout your mouth. Open your mouth and tell about Jesus. Tell somebody, your neighbor, you know. And if you don't sow, you won't reap. The problem is that we don't, you know, we deceive ourselves. We should be the witness of God. Not in the church, everywhere. You are the mouth of God. How could you expect a miracle if you know... Those signs will follow those who will bring the good news. If you shout your mouth, if you say nothing, how will the sign will follow your testimony? Think about that. You should be in fire. You saw those people. They have nothing. But they are in fire 10 times than what we are. You see, they love the Lord, and they walk by faith. You see, it's very important to go back to return to God, to go back to a place of consecration, not capacity, availability. You know, so this morning say, Lord, I want to offer myself, my whole being. Amen. Could the musician come and maybe sing this song, Jesus? There's something about that name. And you know, to me, we are in an exciting time. A time where God will fulfill His Word. But you know, if you don't abide in Him, if you neglect things, if you don't put the Word of God, the promises, if you don't rejoice about the promises of God, you know, nothing will happen. You see, it depends on your faith. You are the one to bring Him on the scene. You see, miracle will happen around you. Just start to apply the Word of God. It's that simple. Heavenly Father, this morning we love you, and like this young boy did one day, he had nothing, but he did the right thing. He said, I give me to you. Lord, that's what you want this morning. You want us. You want a fellowship. You want a communion with us. You want us to abide in you, to put our trust, to put our future, to put our faith, to put everything in you. And we will see this God's return law working among us. Oh, Lord, bless everyone. Bless this church, Brother Jeff, Brother Lonnie, all the ministry. And help us, help them, help us, Lord, to serve you in a better way, to give back ourselves to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing this song? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. May the Lord bless you.
word of joy, the missionary report. No apologies for the time. How many could just say amen? It was excellent. I just appreciated the Spirit of Christ exuding from our brother, and I appreciate his burden. I trust you were able to catch everything that he said. I thought he did really good with his English, and I just appreciate it. Next Sunday, bring your checkbooks. We're going to take up another offering for Haiti. His burden primarily is to get the word out, because he knows if the people get the word, then God will take care of them on the other levels. But at the same time, he wants to build that center, because by meeting a need, you attract the people that find that you're going to do something for them without a cost, and then you're able to give them the gospel. So it's a great means by which to spread the gospel. Jesus did the same thing with the signs, wonders, and miracles. He opened their eyes, he unstopped their ears, and then he told them about the gospel. And that's the way it works. Also, these signs will follow the believer as well. That thrilled me about our sister with a stroke. And the brother just says, "Give me your other hand." 24 hours later, she's totally healed. And just that brother just being led by the Holy Spirit just to say that. And it was her time, and God came on the scene. The law of return. How many enjoyed that? That no matter what you sow, whatever you sow, whether good or bad, you will reap that. We understand that in the bad harvests we get. But there's also a good harvest. And so sow all the good seed that you possibly can. Sow it in the heart of your husband. Sow it in the heart of your wife. Sow it in the heart of your brothers and sisters. Sow it in the heart of that person at the restaurant, or that person in the elevator, or that fellow associate. I still believe with all my heart there are hungering, thirsting souls out there, but they just need to hear it. May we never allow this gospel that we love so much to become common to us. We're going to go over to Las Palmas. There are brothers that have told me that they're very interested in going to Haiti. Right now, they're not in a position. Haiti's not ready or prepared. The government is so in disarray. Most every government building collapsed. On top of that, they're not an organized government, and it's a very corrupt government. There will be a time, though, when Brother Andre is going to say, "Hey, Brother Jeff, I'm ready for those men that want to roll up their sleeves and build buildings." There's going to be a time for that as well. But we're going to talk a little bit about that at the restaurant today. So I know that Elmer and Kyle and Philip and my son Jared, and there might have been others, but have mentioned Chad's going to be with dinner with somebody else, but he met with us yesterday for breakfast. So if there are those of you that would like to come, we'll be over at Las Palmas, and he's going to be telling us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of what's going to take place in Haiti in the near future concerning the rebuilding of churches and this center for adoption, for medical, for dental, for eyewear, etc. So we'll talk a little bit about that over at the restaurant. Lord Jesus, because a brother had a total change of direction, overworked, tired, had burnout, nervous breakdown. Now, God, what do I do? Where do I go? What am I supposed to do with my life? What is your plan? Resigns from the ministry. In literally days, Haiti is rocked with an 8.1 earthquake. And instantly, the years and years and years of service to the bride in Haiti, he found himself compelled to go and visit them. Instantly, God took him from one aspect of the ministry to full-time missionary. What looked like a tragedy to lose the pastorate, to set that aside. What looked like something that could have been considered a big rock in the middle of the road that he could have complained about. But he picked the burden up, the rock up, and he moved it. And the king was watching. And the king was watching. And God, may we be careful too, to know that the king is always watching. And whatever comes our way, may we not complain. You're not interested in our complaints. You're not interested in our comforts. You're interested in your character. May you teach us how to embrace pain.
how to embrace suffering, not to run from it, but to embrace it and recognize God in it, see the hand of God in it. Help us not to be murmurers, but to pick up the stone and move it out of the way so that somebody else doesn't stumble. And God, we thank you for the word of life today, for the testimonies, for the expression of excitement and worship, for the sunshine on their faces despite their poverty. Lord God, they have very, very little in this material world. But being unencumbered, they have the freedom to draw close to you. And you've supplied every single day of their life food and raiment. And we know you'll take care of the church as well. May we help to rebuild that church, be able to facilitate them, Lord Jesus, as you've been gracious to us. May we be gracious to them. Thank you, Father, for this time together. Bless everyone that's going to lunch somewhere. May they just have a wonderful time of fellowship. God, may you teach us to center our fellowship around things that are meaningful and eternal, to talk about the good things of God and not just this material world that we live in. God, but to set our affections on things above and not on things below, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves will break in and steal. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's just sing another song while we're dismissing you. I surrender all. I surrender all. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. And those of you that want to meet us over at Las Palmas to talk about Haiti, we'll meet you over there at Las Palmas. Amen. Oh, all to Jesus I surrender, all to thee. I surrender all.
after all.